been studying this. Lord, will be will. I appreciate very much the commentator that I read to you, who said Bunyan, basically summarizing what he said, Bunyan could find no adequate name for him. So how could he name him better than to simply use his name and double it? Lord, will be will. And so it is, talking about the human will. We pick up with that paragraph that reads, "But it will not out of my thoughts." Bunyan says, "It will not out of my thoughts." What a desperate one this will be will was when power was put into his hand. First, he flatly denied that he owed any suit or service to his former prince and liege lord. He flat denied that he owed any allegiance to his lord. That is really just an absolutely incredibly beautiful, poetic way of simply saying the will willed to disobey the Lord. I like the translation. There is that verse. Somebody maybe could find the reference. I don't remember the reference. He said to the Jews, "How often would I have gathered you unto myself, but ye would not," I think is the way our King James translation has it, "ye would not." The actual translation is, "ye will to not." It's very emphatic, very determinative. "Ye will to not come." which translation, by the way, gives a little bit better understanding of that text than those who are enemies of the truth who like to use it and say, "You see, the Lord," and this verse is showing that the Lord desires that all men would come. You see, he desires that. He says right here, "How would I have gathered you, but you would not." What it actually is, it's not a statement regarding our Lord's intentions of salvation. It's a statement regarding man's relation to it. Man's standing. "How often would I have gathered you?" He was actually, wasn't talking about salvation anyway. He was talking about the nation of Israel. "And ye will to not." And so the will sets itself against God and did from the very beginning. First, Bunyan says, talking about the desperation, what a desperate one this will be will is when he was put in power. First, he flatly denied that he owed any suit or service to his former prince and liege lord. Flatly denied it. This done, in the next place, he took an oath and swore fidelity to his great master Diabolus. And then, being seated and settled in his places, offices, advancements, and preferments, oh, you cannot think, unless you had seen it, the strange work that this workman made in the town of man's soul. And I made a note to myself there, when Bunyan says, you can't even think of what a terrible work this will be will has wrought in man's soul. You cannot even think how terrible it is. And then he says, unless you had seen it. And I made a note which Bunyan had seen it. And we have seen it if we've been born again. We know well, we know painfully well what a terrible work our wills have done in defiance of the King. How you cannot think, said Bunyan, unless you had seen it. and Bunyan truly had seen it, and we have seen it if we're Christians. The strange work that this workman made in the town of Mansoul. First, here's the work he done. First, he maligned Mr. Recorder to death. He maligned Mr. Recorder to death. Now, why did he do that? Could I just pause right there a minute and ask why? If I can find the right book here. Trouble finding the right book. I'm sorry. Here we go. Why do you think the will maligned Mr. Recorder to death? Yeah, Jeremiah Chaplin. I just want to make sure I had the right author. Chaplin said, compiling Bunyan's writings, said, "And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God." These latter words, said Bunyan, are spoken not to persuade us that men can hide themselves from God, but that Adam and those that are his by nature will seek to do it because they do not know him aright. These words therefore further show us what a bitter thing sin is in the soul. It is only for hiding work, sometimes under its fig leaves, sometimes among the trees of the garden. Oh, what a shaking, startling, timorous, evil conscience is a sinful, guilty conscience, Mr. Recorder. Especially when it is but a little awakened, it would run its head into every hole, first by one fancy and then by another. For the power and goodness of a man's own righteousness cannot withstand or answer the demands of the justice of God and His holy law. Conscience, as we know, cries out. We discussed that before. Conscience cries out and reminds us of the law of God, written on the heart. And so, would malign Mr. Recorder to death. He would neither endure to see him nor to hear the words of his mouth. He would shut his eyes when he saw him and stop his ears when he heard him speak. Such is the depraved will of the sinner, that even when conscience tries to perform his office, the will shuts him out. Bunyan says also, he could not endure that so much as a fragment of the law of Shaddai should be anywhere seen in the town. Can I just say this very simply? What Bunyan's describing is total depravity. Total depravity. Not depravity that has a spark of divinity left in it, as they call. Total depravity. Mr. Will-be-will, Lord Will-be-will, will have not one fragment of the law of Shaddai left in this town. For example, says Bunyan, his clerk, Mr. Mind. Now he introduces a new character. Mr. Mine. Had some old rent and torn parchments of the law of good Shaddai in his house. But when Will Be Will saw them, he cast them behind his back. The mind of man. Bunyan is claiming here that in the mind of even the fallen, depraved, lost sinner, there are some fragments of the old law of God still there. I think that's right. True, Mr. Recorder had some of the laws in his study. But my Lord could by no means come to them. He also thought and said that the windows of my old Lord Mayor's house, that was understanding, remember that? Understanding? The windows of my Lord Mayor's house, the man's understanding, were always too light for the profit of the town of Mansoul. Somebody tell me in your own words, just for the sake of those who might be getting these recordings and might not be quite so familiar with many of the word pictures Bunyan uses. Somebody tell us in your own words, what is Bunyan saying in that sentence? Let me read it again. He also thought, that's Will Be Will, and said that the windows of my old Lord Mayor's house, that's understanding, were always too light for the profit of the town of Mansoul. What is Bunyan saying right there? Someone tell me. The next sentence I've been reading, it says, even the light of a candle he could not endure. Somebody tell me in your own words. Let's put it in some modern language here, just for the sake of understanding. Scoot, you got this one?
Well, my first thought is that the will has decided to fully resign to do the diabolicist's will.
Yeah.
That he would have done all he could to darken the understanding.
Yes.
The more that Mansoul understood, the more they would have been prone to go back to Shadow.
Yes. So can the will function to darken the understanding?
Yes, especially in the diabolical.
Yes. So you say that Bunyan he's referring to this truth that the will is so fallen and so desperately depraved that it will engage itself to every possible method to darken the understanding. So that, in the words of Bunyan, even the light of a candle, it could not endure it. My goodness.
The verse, with knowledge comes understanding, with understanding wisdom.
Whoa, say that again. What does the verse say?
With knowledge comes understanding. Understanding wisdom.
With understanding wisdom.
And diabolists could rule people that have wisdom.
Diabolists could not rule people with wisdom. Very good. Very good application of that verse.
Could have put a reference to Romans 1:18 here, verses applicable, where the ungodly are said to hold down the truth and unrighteousness.
Yes, Romans 1:18.
The word for suppression.
The ungodly hold down the truth is the literal translation. Hold down the truth in unbelief. And Bunyan is saying that that's a function of the will, the fallen will.
Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them.
Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. So they hold them down. Yes.
For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen.
Yeah. It's too light. Too much light here. Too much light. Absolutely.
Being understood by the things that are made. Just too much light.
Too much light.
Even His eternal power.
And God's head. Yeah.
So that they are without excuse, without apology. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not
as God.
As God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened.
Right.
Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools.
Right.
So then, based on that verse, could you not also make the application that understanding, as a result of God's image on man's soul, God voluntarily and will.
Yes. Yes, I think that's exactly what Bunyan's saying, is that the will is actively working to destroy even the remaining vestiges of the light of God that linger, could I use that word, in the understanding. And the verses John read say to us that even the if man has nothing more to observe than the creation around him, the very creation speaks it to him. If his understanding would take it in, but the will seeks to prevent that and darken it. I think that we want to emphasize here how very, very, very black, dead, dark Bunyan is picturing the human will. Because there is this notion abroad among those who are not biblicists, those who don't hold the Bible for their guide, that the will of man is okay. It's in good health. It may have some problems, but it's alive and it's reasonably good health and free. It's free enough that if it would just act, it could in fact bring a man to God. Well, Bunyan is painting a much blacker picture than that. He is showing that not only is the will utterly and completely depraved, it will function actively in trying to eradicate any vestige of the truth, the law of God. Even the light of a candle can't be born because of its absolute and utter depravity. Then he actually says that in the next sentence. He says, now nothing at all pleased will be will but what pleased his Lord Diabolus. Nothing at all will please him but what pleased Diabolus. And that's I wanted to read you a couple of other comments if I could find them. This was Mason said no I'm sorry Berger said, great is the aversion of the carnal mind and will to the Bible. Never was greater hatred to it discovered than in this day. Now, let's see. What was the dates? Okay, he lived from 1752 to 1832. Reverend George Berger. So sometime in or before 1832, I don't remember exactly when this work was done, sometime between before 1832, Berger said, never was greater hatred to it, that is to the Bible, discovered than in this day. And it's an exclamation mark, and I didn't put it there. But why do our infidels hate it? Why do our infidels hate it? The true reason is they love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. The little remaining light of conscience they cannot endure because it condemns their beloved carnality. So, there you have it. Mason said, you're going to have to mark these books on the outside so I don't have to waste your time. I'm trying to find a reference. This was actually originally published in 1784. Mason said, unconverted men have a rooted antipathy to the Scriptures. They come not to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. And though there may be perceived in the minds and consciences of such people some faint traces of the law of God, yet through the corruption and depravity of the will, their conceptions of divine things are erroneous and unscriptural. They call good evil and evil good, till the Lord the Spirit rectify the will and affections, ungodly sinners desire not the knowledge of God and reject His will with contempt. Until that is changed, he said, until God changes their will. I'm just trying to emphasize to you, Bunyan is portraying the state of the fallen will biblically. Absolutely biblically. He says it would neither endure to see nor hear the words of the conscience. That it would not endure so much as a fragment of the law of El Shaddai to remain anywhere in this town. That he could not bear so much as the light of a candle. This is a dark picture Bunyan paints of the human will. Our commentator says concerning the mind, Bunyan calls the mind the clerk. He says he is the clerk of will be will. He says all the associations of the will are consistent. All the associations of the will are consistent with its present depraved condition. The mind is subject to the will. As the will dictates, so the mind conceives and brings forth its thoughts and develops them into deeds. The will that is itself perverse will be sure to pervert the mind. And thus the joint action of the will and the mind in the services of Satan is for the uprooting of all holy principles, the casting away of the last small remnant of God's Word treasured up in the soul, the darkening of every gleam of light that dawns upon the understanding, and the violent resistance to the calls and admonitions of the conscience of man. So he's saying, as Bunyan is portraying in his blessed allegory, that neither any some spark of light in the understanding, nor all the fragments of law that are in the conscience, none of this will prevail to turn the fallen will. None of it will succeed. It has no effect. The will is bent on hating God's Son, hating the Prince, hating Shaddai, and obeying thy boss. And that's a simple truth. That's a biblical truth. Now, before we even read any further in Bunyan's Holy War, I put to you the question here, and we'll see the answer. We'll see the answer in his book. But I ask you here, if that is the case, if such is the case, if everything Bunyan has portrayed so beautifully is accurate, if it's an accurate picture, what in the world can man do about his situation? And the obvious answer is absolutely nothing. Nothing. The only way this town is going to be ever removed from the clutches of diabolus is Shaddai is going to have to do it. He's going to have to do it. And we'll find out in the story that even when Shaddai sets about to do it, he will find no cooperation from within the town. My goodness. How very lost we are, apart from the grace of God. There is none like him, Bunyan goes on in the next paragraph. There is none like him to trumpet about the streets the brave nature, the wise conduct, and the great glory of King Diabolus. He is the key proponent of Diabolus. Will be will. He would range and rove throughout all the streets of man's soul to cry up his illustrious Lord and make himself even as an abject among the base and rascal crew to cry up his valiant prince. And I say, when and wheresoever he found these vassals, he would even make himself as one of them. In all ill courses, he would act without bidding and do mischief without commandment. Did you hear what he just said? The will of the fallen man is such that he will act without even being bidden to act. And he will create mischief without even being given a command to create mischief. In other words, evil will spontaneously come out of him. Spontaneously. The fallen will. Lord, will be will. The Lord will be will, he says in the next paragraph, also had a deputy under him, and his name was Mr. Affection. Our commentator says, a deputy, Mr. Affection. When the affections serve the carnal will, they are perverted into vile affections. Under such direction, the emotions of the soul become the promptings of evil. Nor do they abide alone, but become prolific of accursed progeny. When affection is wedded to lust, the offspring will be a diabolian brood. Boy, that's a statement. My goodness, what a statement that is, because we're fixing to find it out. Well, let's just go ahead and read it, and then we'll go back and read the note again. The Lord will be will also had a deputy under him, and his name was Mr. Affection. One that was also greatly debauched, Romans 1:25, and his principles and in his principles and answerable thereto in his life, he was wholly given to the flesh, and therefore they called him vile affection. Now there was he and one carnal lust, the daughter of Mr. Mine, like to like, that is, they were just alike. Carnal lust was just like Mr. Mine. They fell in love, that is, affection and carnal lust. Fell in love and made a match and were married. And that's why I titled the study today in your bulletin, A Match Made in Hell. Mr. Affection fell in love with one carnal lust, the daughter of Mr. Mine. And Bunyan said they made a match and were married. And as I take it, they had several children. Now listen to their names. Impudent, Blackmouth, and Hate Reproof. These three were black boys. Beside these, they had three daughters. Scorn Truth, Slight God, and the name of the youngest was Revenge. These were all married in the town, also begat and yielded many bad brats, too many to be here inserted, but to pass by this. And Bunyan goes on. Now we go back to our note. Our commentator said that when affection is wedded to lust, the offspring will be a diabolian brood. Offspring of affection and lust is impudence, blackmouth, hate reproof, scorn truth, slight God, and revenge. There is a parentage and a pedigree of sin. Well, that's a profound statement too, just stand alone. There is a parentage and a pedigree to sin. It never stands alone. It never stands alone. It had a parentage and it's got a pedigree. That's good stuff there, boy. Sin produces sins. Grow out of sins. Grow into sins. Get it? Sins produce sins. They grow out of sins and they grow into sins. Sins group themselves into families and intermarry and propagate their kind and reproduce themselves a thousandfold. James 1:15, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Sin's never by itself. It'll grow and spread. It'll grow and spread. And so Mr. Bunyan portrays here the wedding between affections and carnal lusts. And the result of that is horrible. Absolutely horrible. Sin never abides alone. Sin never abides alone. Well, Mr. Mason said in another place, what a progeny. The genuine fruit of sin, which is of an impudent, scornful, revengeful nature, and has made the soul an avowed enemy to mercy, justice, and truth. The intent of the gospel is to destroy the works of Satan in the soul and erect on their ruins a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. This is the sole work of Christ. By His Spirit, when He becomes our prophet to instruct and direct, our priest to atone for and pardon our sins, and our King to rule in our souls, the Lord of every motion there. This is the purpose and design of God in the gospel, to destroy the works of Satan and build on that foundation His kingdom of truth, righteousness, mercy, and grace. What a picture. What a beautiful and amazing picture that is. I read one more for you, if I can find it. I had so many other things and worked so many hours this week, I didn't get my books marked as well as I would like to have and typically do. But Mason, in his collection of Bunyan's works, in another place, Bunyan had this to say: sin has been delightfully admitted to an entertainment by all the powers of the soul. The soul hath chosen it rather than God, and also, at God's command, refuses to let it go. If there be at any time, as indeed there is, a warrant issued from the mouth of God to apprehend, to condemn, and mortify sin, why then the souls of sinners do presently make these shifts for the saving of sin from things that by the word men are commanded to do unto it. They will, and he lists the different things that a man will do to protect his sin. Number one, they will, if possible, hide it and suffer it not to be discovered. Number two, the soul will hide it, so it will also excuse it and plead that this and that piece of wickedness is no such evil thing. Men need not to be so worried about it. Thirdly, as the soul will do this, so to save sin, it will cover it with names of virtue, either moral or civil. And finally, if convictions and discovery of sin be so strong and so plain that the soul cannot deny that it is sin and that God is offended therewith, then it will give flattering promises to God that it will indeed put it away. But yet, it will prefix a time that it shall be long first, say, yet a little sleep, yet a little slumber, yet a little folding of the arms, till I'm older, till I'm richer, till I've had more of the sweetness and delights of life. And so it just says, later. I'll take care of that later. If God yet pursues, and we'll see whether this promise of putting sin out of doors shall be fulfilled by the soul, why then it will be partial in God's law. It will put away some and keep some. Put away the grossest and keep the finest. Put away those that can best be spared and keep the most profitable for a help in a pinch. Yea, if all sin must be abandoned, or the soul shall have no rest, why then the soul and sin will part. With such a parting as it is, parted with an ill will and a scornful mind, or as Oprah left her mother with a kiss. In other words, if he has to put away sin, put it away, but he'll not be happy about it. And if at any time they can or shall meet with each other again, and nobody never the wiser, oh, what courting will be between sin and the soul. if ever they can meet together again and nobody know anything about it, oh, what a courtship they will have. By all these and many more things that might be instanced, it is manifest that sin has a friendly entertainment in the soul, and that therefore the soul is guilty of damnation. For what do all these things argue but that God, His Word, His ways and glances are out of favor with the soul, and that sin and Satan are its only pleasant companions? What about that? Boy, Bunyan had a lot to say about the soul and sin, didn't he? And so it is. Lord Wilbywill has a deputy called Mr. Affection. Mr. Affection fell in love with one Carnal Lust, and they married, and their offspring was impudent, blackmouth, hate-proof, scorn-truth, slight, God, and revenge. What a brood that is. What a brood that is. And he goes on to say, these were all married in the town, and they also begat and yielded many bad brats. Too many here to be inserted. My goodness, boy, this is a picture. We stopped there for today, but isn't this a horrible picture? Isn't this a horrible picture of the town of man's soul? Here it is. Here's the right and biblical picture of man's soul. Bunyan lays it out in a beautiful allegory, the Holy War. We'll take up there next week, Lord willing. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for your Word. What light it brings. Nay, not just a candle, but a thousand blazing suns of light your Word brings to our souls. When you give us eyes to see and ears to hear and new life from your Spirit to believe, we thank you, we praise you, and we worship you. Continue to teach us and lead us. We pray for the service at the nursing home. Would you send your Spirit to go before us? May Christ be exalted, whatever men may do. Bless us together now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.